and a heart to worship God, they'd like to talk with you. You can... Really? Heart to worship God. That's sweet. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you could be an instrumentalist or a vocalist or both. That's great. But yeah, so if that's you and you've been thinking about it, then don't think any longer. Just ask Derek and Aaron about it and see where you go with it. And then another thing, I'm sure you guys know Ashley, who signs in the kids every week. She oversees the children's ministry. One of the things we realized recently is that just by nature, it's nice because she doesn't have to work in the children's ministry very often. She mostly oversees. But because she signs the kids in when she's here, she basically misses worship every single week. Which, you know, you probably know we even have for the children's teachers, it's like an every other week or 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. I forget how we do it. But the idea is that if you're a teacher here, you wouldn't miss service every week because we wouldn't want anybody to have to miss service because then basically you'd never in here. But Ashley's been missing worship nearly every week because she's signing kids in. So we realized, wait a second, we could probably train people pretty easily to know how to sign kids in. My wife did it this morning. I know a number of other moms have done it before. I've sat in and done it before. It's really like a 5 or 10 minute training away from feeling very comfortable doing it. The benefit is you would, if you were willing to do that, if we had people in the church willing to do that, maybe let's say 10 people, you'd only do it a few weeks out of every 3 months where you'd miss the first 20 minutes or so of worship signing people in. So it wouldn't be a big burden to people if we spread the load, whereas right now for Ashley, we're realizing, oh man, it's keeping her from coming into worship ever. So we don't want to do that. So I'm going to pass out a little sign-up sheet. You don't have to be a parent necessarily to do that, but you do have to be someone that's just got a great heart towards kids. You know, that you can be a real friendly face that's willing to like learn how to do that job well, so that when people come with their kids, they know what to do and they feel comfortable. Yeah, it's putting a sticker on a kid's back with their name on it, maybe a sticker on their sippy cup so that they don't drink Johnny's sippy cup. It's giving them a little wristband with the number so that if the kid's struggling, the number goes up here and I know that I got to go get Peter or something like that. Yeah, and a hug. You must be a qualified hugger. Well, maybe we could grab a pen and we'll send this around. Beautiful. And then one last thing. We've been having a lot of really nice lunches with people after church for those that have come to those. Thanks for coming to those. It's been fun hanging out. We're going to put a pause on those for a little bit. You know, we'll continue to have different gatherings, etc. But just for right now, it's been like a standing meeting for probably 3 months or so, that expectation that every Sunday we're going out afterwards. We're going to just put a pause on those for a little bit, at least as a standing meeting, although we might announce them here and there. So no leaders' luncheons after church for a little bit. Okay. So, well, Brad, it's 12:10. What do you think? Should we try to ring Ryan in, or is he going to be tight on, like, he's going to be right at 12:15, or... Okay, let's try. I got promoted to do this today because I have an iPhone. Okay. I'll see if he comes up and then I guess hold this up. Hey, just on time. Wonderful. Are you ready? Okay, Brad's going to hold the microphone here.
I'll explain a little bit here first.
Okay, he's going to explain a little first.
So, you know, as you know, we've been for the last 3 or 4 weeks learning how to share your faith. Well, Ryan has, like most, has never, ever led anyone to Christ. And so, I guess that's about all I want to say because now he's going to take it from here. But that's what this is about. I wanted you to see what just even the last 3 or 4 weeks of teaching has already done in the heart of at least one person.
Okay, Ryan, go ahead and try to talk. We'll see if it picks up on the mic.
Hello, church.
Man, you sound wonderful.
So, Do I stand?
Yeah, you're good.
Are you guys good? Go ahead, Ryan.
All right, yeah. So my friend Derek, he's a cook at Nazareth Restaurant, the place I wait tables at. And God's been putting him on my heart. I've been praying for him for a while, but he's very quiet, very, like, kind of somber, not a very joyful person, so I was very worried about actually approaching him. But then God really provided a way. Some stuff happened, and he pretty much struggled with drugs and stuff like that. So I knew a friend who used to struggle with drugs to go to me in my ministry school. So I asked Tarek if he wouldn't mind my friend sharing his story, and just kind of, you know, share a story. Little do you know, he stopped doing drugs because he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. So what happened was we all got to Panera Bread, and we just shared him. He shared a story. My friend Judah shared a story about how he found the Lord and how pretty much he just got cut clean of drugs, and it never happened again. And so my friend Tarek, you know, we kind of just, like, softened it up for him. And then pretty much I brought the gospel. I just told him the truth. And that week I memorized some scriptures. I was kind of hesitant to memorize them just for my own reasons. It was kind of dumb. But, then I started memorizing them. And I knew them by heart. And I brought them through some scriptures, mainly just about that like, we need Jesus. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. Spiritually, and just stuff like that, and then just brought him who Jesus is, who the person of Jesus is, and showed him what that meant, and that he's real today, and he wants to be his friend, and he wants to hang out with him, he wants to bring him joy, and just shared him truth after truth after truth. And then I pretty much looked in his eyes. I was like, Jared, I can see it. I know you know this is truth. You can either decide now or later. I want it to be your decision. I don't want to push it on you. And so I was like, so what do you think, man? And he's like, he's got a kind of deep voice, but yeah, man, let's do it. Yeah, I'll accept Jesus. So, so I prayed, and just led him through the prayer, and we said amen, and literally, everything changed. his whole complexion changed. He's not, like I said, he's not a joyful person, and he was already starting to laugh. Wow. And he was just a different person. So, yeah, I mean, I'm learning how to disciple him, but it's fun. It's good stuff.
That is
me and Brad awesome. Talked earlier, and I'm going to see him. We're going to see him in heaven. You guys are going to be friends with Tarek. It's going to be awesome.
That is awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Yay, yay, yay.
Come on.
So, I just got a reminder here to call Ryan Gunnarsson. Okay, so, Ryan, would you, can you hear me, Ryan?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, could you actually, you know, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. I know you know that. Would you release the prophetic repeat, of what you experienced with your friend leading him to the Lord over us as a congregation?
Heck yeah, man. Let's do it. All right, Lord, I just I come before you. I just pray to release the joy that I received when I shared my faith. I pray that you just release boldness over this body. I pray that this will just really spark people's desire to share your truth and who you are as a person. And not to be like obligatory or something we have to do, but something that's just overflow that just happens. But Lord, I pray that you just anoint this congregation just to lead thousands and thousands to the Lord.
Yes.
Father, that we will be a family in heaven because of things we've done on earth. And so I pray that, yeah, you just really anoint this body to share your words, to share your joy, and do it easily, like, be an overflow, Father. So, yeah, I just bless you guys. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Love it. Amen.
That's awesome. We shouted amen, and you too.
Cool. I'll take it.
That's awesome. Well, I know that you're doing some worship stuff in Cincinnati, so bless you. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks, guys. Love you guys.
Okay, love you too. See ya.
Bye.
Yes, yes, yes. That is first fruits. You know, I was telling someone the story yesterday, a friend of ours. I want to kind of play this out just a little bit. I was telling someone the story yesterday, my cousin and her husband, that last year, way back in May, I think, someone came up to me after service and said, will you pray for me? And I thought, sure. Emotional something, spiritual something, got it. What do you need prayer for? I threw my back out. Gulp. Because I'd probably prayed for about 100 people or more for their physical healing, and I don't know that I had ever seen anything in the moment. And so I start winding my faith up. You know what I mean? Like one of those racetrack cars that's going to go like faster the more you wind it, except hopefully you don't break it, you know? And so I start winding my faith up. But all of a sudden, as I'm starting to do that to myself, he said, I heard you preach the other week, and I threw my back out this morning, and I just knew sitting back there that if I come up to you, you're going to pray for me, and it's going to get well. Oh. Well, luckily, he had faith. So in either case, I said, okay, so what's your pain level now? It's like 0 to 10. 10. So it really hurts. Yeah. Okay. We prayed, and the Lord gave me a little bit of where we prayed, and I said, and I felt something, you know, and I said, how is it? And he said, it's better. Oh, cool. So what do you mean? It's better. It's better. Like, you know, what's your pain? My pain level is a 0. It's better. I mean, he's ecstatic, giving us hugs, like all sorts of excited. Now, here's what's interesting. I had prayed for about 100 people to get healed physically. That's just my guess. Maybe it's 200. Maybe it's 300. I'd prayed for like a year and a half for people to get well physically, never seen anything. That I, you know, maybe afterwards that I didn't. All of a sudden, this guy comes up and says, I know that you're going to do this. And I did it. God did it. But you know what I mean? I actually let it happen. That summer, we prayed for probably 25 backs that experienced some measure of pain reduction on the spot. Probably 25 within 3 months. You know what that is? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19. And so what happens is when you get a testimony and you speak it out, what it does is it actually releases it to happen again. A testimony of Jesus' move releases it to occur again. It prophesies it to repeat. So when Brad says that's first fruits, that literally means it's first fruits. Meaning there's going to be seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths, 800 and 975 thousandths, whatever it is. That was a made up number. Big numbers, right? It's just boom, 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 boom. It's one. You get the first win and things start happening from there because you realize all of a sudden it's possible. Yeah, so Father, we release the prophetic declaration of salvations over this congregation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just want to share that a little bit. Okay, so Brad asked me to bless the fathers today, and I want to do that with a little bit. That's actually a perfect lead-in. I was thinking pocket knives. I really was. And for, who was here when Brad blessed the moms? I mean, it was like, wasn't that beautiful? I so enjoyed, I mean, that was just really a precious, it was really precious. And so part of me wanted to do kind of like exactly the same thing, like change the word mom, put in dad, change some of the other content. What could I give instead of flowers? Pocket knives, you know? I was like, that might get a little expensive, you know? And so in either case, I was thinking about it. And yesterday, we picked up a movie from Brad for the movie night. And the second movie. And so anyway, I picked up this movie and I said, hey, where did you get, because he told me the idea for the Mom's Day just came to him when he was driving on Bethel Road. And I was like, well, where on Bethel Road were you when you got that? And he said, by the McDonald's. Well, the Lord gave it to me by the Wendy's yesterday on Bethel. Because I was like, Lord, you got to give me something too. Okay, here's the story. Yeah, I know, exactly. It's right across the street.
That's obviously where the heaviest anointing is.
Exactly, yeah. So if you really want to experience the presence of God, Bethel Road, just off of 315, between the Wendy's and the McDonald's. It's a little bit the French fries smell, but I think it's also the anointing. So in either case, here's the story. We went home shopping yesterday. Oh, man. Sometimes I offer to my students, I teach high school, I offer to them joke lessons. when I'm like really funny like this. I'm like, if any of you guys want to learn how to be funny, I'm giving lessons after school. I say it like real straight face and goofy. Oh man, they try to teach me how to be cool. And then the one kid at the end of the year, he said, "You're the only teacher who got mastery in being cool." And so here's a story. Yesterday, we were going to look at houses, and can you imagine a 2-year-old in a car seat stopping every 10 minutes to go into a house for 10 minutes that's open and vacated? So they're like running around. Then you pick them up, back in the car seat, strapped back in, and you know, it's just like. We did that about two or three times, and it was like, okay, good, he fell asleep. We can go in. I'll go in with my brother, who's the realtor, and then Megan can go in with him, and then the next one, she'll go in first with him, and then, you know, get a little easier. Because all that in and out of the car seat, about the third time you do that in 30 minutes, it's like, not anymore. Anne's right with me. You don't think it's that hard to strap kids into a car seat, but it really is challenging. Okay, anyway. He falls asleep. We're taking advantage of him being asleep. And then we pull in to drop my brother off after, and it's like 4:10. And Peter is sobbing in the back seat. Sobbing, 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 sobbing. And I look back, see him, you know, just not just little tears running. It's like these are like boulders of tears rolling down his face. You know, like I don't know how the surface tension of the water allowed that tear to be so big, you know, size of a pea, like rolling down his face. And so I look back there, I'm like, oh man, why is I think he's just maybe sick of being in the car seat or something. Why is he so sad? And I realize he didn't have a really big lunch. I turn around to him, I say, "Hey, bud, are you hungry?" And in the middle of his cry, he says, "Yeah." And this impression, I feel like, of the Father's heart, the Father God's heart, came onto my heart in that minute. And in an instant, I had this overwhelming sense of compassion towards action for my son's hunger and even the hunger of the children of the world. There was a sense of like, there is no child, not even in Africa, that should ever be hungry again. Have you guys ever had a feeling like that? Maybe not about that specific thing, but like when the Lord imparts his heart to you, you realize in that instant that his heart is bigger than your heart. His heart is infinitely big. It wasn't just in that instant that I felt that my son shall never be hungry again, but it was I felt that no child should ever be hungry again. And it felt a little bit like, man, I feel like that's maybe my little sermonette for tomorrow about fathers. And then we pull into the Wendy's, and it just gets confirmed. There's something, you know, Dave Thomas like had such a heart for that exact sort of thing, and there was something on the checkout line that said, you know, donate this much to the kids and all of that. And I was thinking about that, and I realized that fathers never, ever, ever want their children to go hungry. There's been a lot said, fathers and the father's blessing, and I don't think probably any of it is overstated in terms of importance. I had another thought yesterday as reminiscing with my wife. I'm sort of starting to paint a picture for you guys here. Hopefully I don't go too long. Another thought, I was reminiscing with my wife last night when I was a little kiddo, fifth grade. And I was a big fifth grader, but I was still in fifth grade. I got off the bus one day, and two eighth graders picked on me. The one eighth grader kneeled behind me, and the other eighth grader then shoved me over him, and I tumbled over, right? So they basically, like a mini beat me up. Not, like, punch me, but, you know, like, one sat behind, you know, pushed me over, toppled over. Well, I told my parents. I don't know how my dad did it right, but I know he did it right, because it didn't go... He somehow did it... He came to the bus stop the next morning, and those two young men knew that they were never to pick on me again, or else they would be picked on in a mighty way. Somehow he did it in a way that wasn't, you know what I mean? He could have taken it in a wrong way. It wasn't wrong. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like then they needed to go tell their parents they're a scary guy. Or, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it wasn't, there was something there where it was like, that's going to be your new little buddy. You know what I mean? Like, He stood up for me in a way that is very, the Father always protects. The Father always protects. When I started dating Megan way back in college, her dad sent her, the first time I met her dad and her mom, he sent her to go make some tea in the kitchen and then said, "So, why do you want to date my daughter?" The Father always protects. And then the last thing that the Lord was putting on my heart is the Father is always, always, always interested in blessing. And when the Father blesses something, what he's saying is go. Because the Lord's not given us a spirit of timidity, of power, love, and a sound mind. And so when God blesses something, when a father blesses something, he's saying, go. You can go do it. And those words of affirmation are so powerful from a father. They grant identity. They grant the ability to walk into something. And this is like, this I feel like is at least a little bit of a picture of who a father is. And here's what's interesting. So bring it back to fathers. What's interesting is who invented the idea of a father? Who invented the idea of a father? God, the Father. And so, sorry, I've kind of left it pregnant pause too long. You're like, we're going to have to do a C-section to get that one out of him. And, I'll be offering lessons after church. Okay, just a joke. See, I got them. Okay, so in either case, God, okay, when you become a father, I don't care if you know the Lord or not, when you become a father, the Lord's, the identity as a father is from God the Father. Okay, now sometimes if we don't know the Lord and we don't, or if we know the Lord and we aren't walking in the blessings of the Lord, etc., we might not act a whole lot like God the Father. But we still have deep down in our heart, there's this little grace pellet or something that the Lord puts in you or on you or something. I call it a mantle, right? When you become a father, something changes. Derek just experienced this recently. Kenton's like, dude, it's going to change when you become a father. And he was like, yep, you experienced that, right? There's something that comes on you. When the Lord called Brad to take over this church, something came on Brad. He called it like a Papa Bear sort of thing. There's a fathering role that actually comes on you. I believe it's from the Lord, and it comes on you. And now what's interesting, as fathers, for the fathers of us in here, and for everybody else, I want to do a little reconciliation today in our hearts towards our fathers and our hearts towards our sons and daughters, etc. Here's the thing. I believe the father anointing, that father calling, that father mantle, whatever the correct phrase would be, is perfectly pure on each of us because there's no wrong, like there's only one thing that's a father. It's God's idea. The father idea is God's. It's an identity from God. It'd be like saying, that's not a real DVD player. Nobody makes unreal DVD players. Just sometimes DVD players break and don't work. Does that make sense? If it's a DVD player, it's a DVD player. If it's a father, it's a father. Okay? And a father is going to want to provide, protect, and bless. That's what fathers want to do. And so I think that here's where it boils down to. What we need to understand as fathers is we need to know that the Father in heaven is providing for us, protecting us, and blessing us. Otherwise, the magnitude of the heart that he's given us for our children and those under our care is too great of a burden. That burden I had for the kids in Africa in an instant, that heart is too great of a burden unless I know the Lord's provision for me. Unless I know his protection for me, unless I know his blessing for me. And so I'd like to pray that for us fathers here today, that we would come into an understanding, because we will bless our children as we are blessed by him. We will provide for our children as we are provided for by him. And we will protect our children as we are protected by him. And in so doing, we will have the provision. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about this. He's provided all of the blessings for us. that pertain to life and godliness. He's given it to us all so that we can walk in these things. So I'd like to bless the fathers. We can pray that. Maybe the fathers could come up here, I'm thinking, to a place of honor. So everyone who's a father in here, if they'd come up here, and then we'll have other people, the rest of everyone, come and pray for them and also just bless them. Yeah, absolutely. That's a living baby in there. That's awesome. Okay. Okay, great. Brian, wonderful. Okay. Kenton's out there. Okay, great. We'll wait a second for Kenton. That's great. Thanks. Wonderful. Glad you're here, Kenton. And guys, as we bless them, just while Kenton comes up, I feel like the Lord was giving this to me. As it relates to, some of you have had fathers that you feel like probably haven't measured up to God the Father. You know, you're aware of that. I felt like the Lord gave this to me. I want to tell you that their hearts, your father's heart towards you, is the father's heart. Remember I said there's no other thing. There's not like a false father's heart and a real father's heart. There's just the father's heart. They have the father's heart. The thing they might not have is the grace of God to experience that from him themselves so that they can give it to you very freely. So I think that might be helpful just to know even deep down, even if your dad was quite harsh or something else, deep down that father's heart is in there because that's what was given to them by God. And God the Father has that same heart for each of us so we can receive that from him by grace. Okay. Do you want to pray over?
I'm thinking, man, you got that morning on your own.
Okay.
I'm just going to join you.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Well, Father, we come before you as fathers. Why don't everyone come up and lay hands on these guys? Let's bless them.
Amen.
You can lay hands on me, too. I'm a dad.
That's why you're standing up here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Ooh, thank you, Father. Lord, we release. Father, we acknowledge right now that this is not just a little act, but you can empower it by your power. Release your power right now. I pray for a greater increase and release of your Father's anointing over each father in here. Over each father in here. Over each father in here. Thank you, Lord. I break every lie that would speak to any father in here about the impurity of their sort of anointing to be a father. Thank you, Father. There is no impure father anointing. Lord, you are the Father. You are the prototype, and we are a chip off the old block. You've commissioned us to be fathers as you're a father. And now I pray for us, Father. I pray for the dads here right now, and I pray for each person in here that we would come into a place as a congregation that would be tremendously fathered by you, tremendously fathered by you. We declare that you provide for us perfectly. You never want to see us hungry. You never want to see us hurt. We declare that you always protect us valiantly. Lord God, you never want to see us hurt. You will not even want us to be scared, Father. And Father, we declare that you bless us perfectly. You never curse us. You only bless us and call us into all the things you've prepared for us. And so, Father, we thank you that you have words of encouragement and building up, Lord, for each one of us in this congregation. So we release the Father's anointing over our congregation. Father, that we would minister under the Father's anointing. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Father. And right now, just a sweetness would fall over everybody's heart towards their father. Every father's heart toward their children. In particular, I just break off any condemnation at all in the name of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you provide for each father a total clean slate every day for them towards their kids. So I just pray a freshness. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Amen.